Time to open, beginning of the visit with Cookie. This is Sunday, the 3rd of September, 72. Time to over, and the beginning of the visit with Cookie. This is Sunday, the 3rd of September, 72. Channel 2 over, and beginning of the visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the 3rd of September, 72. Channel 2 over, and beginning of visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the 3rd of September, 72. Channel 2 over, and beginning of the visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the 3rd of September, 72.
I just sat up there watching Donnell Lewis talk, old Meanie. I meant to ask you last time you was over here, that old Chrysler, I can't get anything out of it. Could you get anything out of it?
Will it move?
Yeah, it'll move.
I don't know. I might be able to trade something out of it.
Well, you're welcome. If you was in shape to push the wrenches, I know you could. But if you have to pay for it, you know Hall, Jim Hall that ran that Gator wrenches. You know what he's doing?
Yeah, had a stroke or a heart attack or something.
He looks pretty healthy to me. He sold out that place and run this auction house down here, right across from Mr. Eastman at Orange Lake. That's him. Hall.
Hall Trading Booth.
Yes. That's him.
Jim Hall.
Yes. I think he just had enough of it.
Someone told me that he had a heart failure or a stroke or something, and the doctor told him not to, I believe it was to not get under automobiles, not get up and down so much. You know, that's awful hard on a person.
Yeah.
Crawling, rolling in under an automobile and working and then coming out and jumping right up. That's pretty hard on a man.
Is it? You got to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Well, he sure looked healthy when I saw him the other day down there. Gee whiz.
Well, you would know my dad guy. He looks so much better than he ever has since he's been down in here. My dad looks real well. And doing good. Feels good.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know.
Boy, I mean, he was down here, you know. He looked pretty pied to me, but I hadn't seen him, you know.
Well, he looks, he just looks so much different now, you wouldn't know him.
Well, has he changed his, maybe just changed his attitude towards things?
Well, it don't make any difference now which way the chips fall. I mean, he just lets them lay where they fall. He don't worry about nothing.
Yeah.
If he gets his hay up, all right. If he don't, well, he's just like you. He just don't care.
Yeah. Well.
I ain't used to worry about stuff like that. If you cut it down and then you can't get it up, why, I ain't used to worry about it.
Well, a lot of times you worry and you don't realize it. That's what I found. Well, I'll tell you, I sent that tractor down there. It was falling apart at Alex Chalmers, that back end, you know. And it come back with, well, it held together, but it's still curious. Well, you just got to keep sending it to them to get it fixed. Like I told you, they rebuilt that housing under there for the drawbar.
Yeah.
And they made it so thick, you see, that old pin wouldn't work. But they didn't put it, they didn't even try it. So it got up here, see, and I couldn't make it work. Well, I wasn't going back down there. I had no business whatever down there, so I just didn't use it. And what little hay I made, you see, I just made it with it, pulled it with the other.
Yeah. Well, it worked all right, didn't it? Yeah.
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 Yeah. If you remember, tight those bubbles. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of discouragement in the system, ain't there?
Oh my goodness! See, that's all I've had now for 6 months. Is since I took sick, is just. I believe I'd have went crazy if I hadn't. It just took off and went up the country. I believe I would, Gus. I was just at the point where I just wouldn't eat. I couldn't sleep.
And just right there living with it, you couldn't get away from it.
I had to get out of from under it. Me and that old Cadillac went right on up the country, buddy. Believe it or not, but it only cost me between $4 and $5 more money to go up there in it than it did Laura to go in her little Nova.
Yeah, and you took the load.
I took the load.
She used air conditioning.
She ain't got air conditioning. I used air conditioning. She ain't got air conditioning, she ain't got power steering, she ain't got power brakes. Just a straight automobile.
Well, I thought she had all those.
No, I got, on that Cadillac, I got air conditioning, power steering, power brakes, power windows. It's all power, everything.
Well, you can't get a Cadillac without it, can you?
Oh, yeah. You can get them without it. Special order. See her car. It ain't got air conditioning. Ain't got power steering. Don't have power brakes. Just six-cylinder engine. And I'll show you the difference now. I drove to Cleveland,
yeah,
Ohio, on $14.97 worth of gas. Well, she drove it to West Virginia and spent a little over $18 for gas. That's in the driving.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Last summer, when they took a Cadillac to West Virginia, they spent $36 for gas. I spent $22 a quarter.
That's in the driving. And you can't tell them that.
You can't tell them. I'm trying to tell them how to drive, but I might as well talk to them. That jar right there, I get just as much action.
I tell you, you know, I look at this boy out here. He comes in here and eats occasionally. And I look at him, and he's so goddamn healthy. Well, he could just keep on eating. He could eat 2 or 3 meals at one time. He doesn't, but he could.
No responsibility. No worry.
No. No.
You put that on your back, and I tell you, it's hard to digest under.
The only worry he had was he was about to eat up his parents, you see. He was so put out with them for something that they weren't responsible for. You know, just this adolescent stuff growing up. But that didn't hurt his appetite.
Well, what's he doing? I mean, he just, he's not working nowhere now?
He's working with me.
He's working with you?
Yes. He's working with me doing desk work.
Oh.
He'd just been up here a little while. He'd going back, but he was doing pretty well, so he just stayed a little longer. I don't know how long he stayed. He nice to have around, he'd talk. And
well, I guess after next week I'll be around quite a bit. Got a pretty full week. I got to go back to Tampa, I guess, and spend a couple of days down there. See if they'll let me go back to work.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to work Tuesday morning, but I don't look like I'm gonna get to.
You have to clear down there?
Well, I got to go back down there in order for me to get clear through the Alachua County Health Department.
Oh.
They're afraid to trust their judgment because I've been swelling up quite a bit. Out here on external.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, and they don't know what it is. So I'm going back down there and see what they got to say.
Yes, sir. If you could just cut on your mileage every day, that would be the greatest relief you would get.
Well, I see, when I go back to work, I'm still going to be faced with the same thing.
Yeah.
Because there ain't nobody over there now for Helen to ride with. Nobody.
On that particular shift.
That's right.
And she really pays to go on that shift, don't she?
Well, she couldn't stand to work on the other shift, guy.
Too much work.
Too much work. She just couldn't stand it, period. There's no way.
Yeah. On this shift, it's more just being there.
Just your presence, that's all. She don't do nothing at night. All she does is sweep and mop one little area there, and that's all she has to do, and be there with the kids. She's only got three. Three kids.
Yeah.
first thing Monday morning. I mean, Tuesday morning. Got to get some papers straightened up.
Oh, heck, I'd hate to go to first thing Tuesday morning. Everything would be a mess.
I know, but that's...
Nobody can find anything.
But I got to go.
Well, the fella just got to stay in business a little bit, you know, Cookie. But I'll be done if it's not discouraging. If you got any machinery or something to keep up. Gee whiz. Gee whiz. Everybody getting rich, you see. Now this fella, Hilton Herring, he works on refrigeration up there on the campus. And I didn't realize it, but he's getting long. He's not as young as he was. And he and old Robert Smith were there. They were friendly, you know. And he kept up Robert's stuff over there. Robert's had all that refrigeration for the candy shop. But he quit that. He just quit doing anything. He does enough, so much, he just, when he gets off, he just don't want to look at it anymore. I guess he just wants to go home and read the paper. I don't know what he wants to do. But anyhow, Robert's his friend, he is.
Yeah.
And he still had enough of it. It wasn't taking any time.
Well, when I go back to work, I'm just going to work on that one job. I ain't going to work no two different jobs. I want to fiddle around out here. Heck, I've goofed off now for so long while all these palmetto fans and junk has blowed out on the pasture and smothering the grass out. We need to get out there and pick them up.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of picking up to do. You know, I still have a cow come down every now and then with that foot trouble.
You do?
Yes. But I just squirt it. And I don't laugh a day or two. Keep them up in the where it's dry.
You haven't sold any of your calves yet?
No. Haven't even worked them. It's been so humid. You know, I just didn't have the heart to get out there and work them. Hard on them, hard on me. You touch a cow and it's just like an incubator.
Yeah, yeah. Dad was afraid to even bother his this year. On account of the weather. See, well, the first two that he worked on, he lost them.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Like that. So he didn't bother no more. He just let them go as bulls and forget about it.
Yeah.
They brought just as good a money.
Yeah.
And he didn't have all that variation and he lost about $300 there. By now it would have been worth $300.
Yeah.
So
Gee whiz.
He sold one calf while I was up there. Weighed 280 pounds. Brought him 50 cents a pound. Bull calf.
Say that.
Well, if he had enough of them, he could make a little of that rate, couldn't he?
He got 11. And he's got 8, though, that he's got registered for the feeder calf sale.
Yeah.
He's going to put them on the feeder calf sale.
Yeah.
So...
And that brings in the outside buyers.
Right.
When do they have those sales?
The first Thursday in September. I mean in October. First Thursday in October is the one he's got his name. Now there's one the last Thursday in September, but he didn't put his name on that sale. Because it's over at Spencer, and they never do bring as much at Spencer as they do at Ripley. Because those buyers from Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee get into Ripley, they don't get to Spencer.
Yeah.
And they just pay more money for their calves over at Ripley.
Yeah.
Than the buyers from Virginia and Maryland and so on and so forth, that come to Spencer. There's just more money down there for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, if you just leave it up to the local buyers, they'll depress it.
Ah, you lose your shirt.
They just sit around there like buzzards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's nice living in the old days, but I'm telling you, it's hard for a man to make money. Now, you take old man Gusser over there, see, he butchered so much. Well, that was back in the 30s and 40s. And after that, you see, he lost his health, and he couldn't do it. And I heard Ms. Gusser say that he had butchered a mini one and didn't collect a nickel. He'd get rid of the meat all right, but he didn't collect. I heard a good story collecting over here. This Mr. Gary that lived back here, drove a Cadillac, stopped down there to get his newspaper to store at Evanston every day. Well, he came in the 30s from Louisiana. He worked at naval stores over there, and it played out, and he come over here. This fellow who told me this knew him. Said he came over here in the first of the V8 Fords. And he thought it was 1934.
'33 was the first V8.
33. And he did that a while, and then he got this little store over at Citra, and he made money. He prospered. One thing about it, he and his wife both were energetic. She was better than he was, you might say. They kept the stock up. I'm telling you, there's so much work keeping a store going, you see, if you count all that stock.
Oh, my God.
And all. And collecting and all. Well, this was collecting. Every time one of those old country stores prospered and stayed home, you can just figure somebody around there knew how to get the money in. He said he went out with, he knew Gary pretty well. He said he went out with him one time, and of course, the niggas all lived out in the woods there, and they come up to this place, and nobody answered, and he stepped up on the porch and looked in. There, that big black was sprawled out on the bed, sleeping off a drunk.
said they just sort of looked in there. He said, Mr. Gallagher looked it over and he says, oh, there's no use bothering him. He says, he got these shoes, they look like they're brand new. And he got them breeches, he looked like he just got them from the store, hanging up on the rocking chair. He says, I'll just take them and call it quits. Now, I tell you, Cookie, that's just a good one. See, that's not rough. He was prepared to be rough, you know. He was a peppery fellow. But you know, in those days, if a fellow was peppery and the word got out, he didn't have to be that way very much, you see.
Just a time or two.
He
was on his way then.
Just a time or two. Phil Patterson was like that. Right up. Time he got out of that, retired and everything, you could just see something come up, you know. You could just see him just brace himself. He wasn't going to let anybody call his bluff. No, sir. Even there where it didn't matter. You could see it. Oh, he was good. He gifted. I'd go over and talk to him and see about all these people running over me. And he'd just sit there and look at me and just say, you damn simpleton. Why don't you get up and knock the oil and fire out of him? It's very simple to him. And you see, in his time, that's the way he ran Murphy compound up there.
Yeah.
He ran that. He went up there before the war.
Hmm.
And he stayed until, you know, middle of 60s, 65, somewhere along there. Well, he was there over a generation. And that's the way he ran it. He ran it. Clear on up through his time, he ran it. Then things sort of slackened off. Yes, sir, he ran it. He old sawmill man, you see. Yes, sir, he could work them. I just wish I could explain to anybody. I understood. It explained to anybody. You see, that whole frame of mind, it's a view of the world, you see, that's completely gone, except for the people who saw it.
Yeah.
And to me, it seemed like such a much more satisfactory system. Eddie, is he a mechanic? Over here.
Ed? Over here at the shell?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty good mechanic.
Well, I didn't realize it. I thought all he knew how to do was to, as a B-man, was to put in spark plugs.
He's a pretty good mechanic.
What can he do?
Well, mainly motor work's all he does. Overhaul engines. And
can he do that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he can.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how'd I get that idea? He didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, Frank, he's worked with him. And Frank's about as good as he is, though. Get him still long enough. If he get his mindset to it, now he can do it.
Yeah. I went over there one day to get something done. That's what made me notice it. He must have had a dozen cars sitting around there that he was working on or that was waiting to be worked on.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, last week, Frank did 3 valve jobs himself because Ed was off on vacation. Frank did them himself.
Well, can he make anything over there?
Who, Frank?
Eddie.
Oh, yeah. He's getting ready to go buy him a new wrecker, a big wrecker.
Oh.
About $8,000 worth.
That's a mistake. That's a mistake for you to spend money like that. What does he need with that?
Well, there's just such a big demand for it. People calling him on interstate, but he just can't. He just can't take care of the public without one.
Oh, you mean, and then he got to bring the cars over there to work on them?
Yeah, see, he can't work on them on the interstate.
That's against the rule.
Nothing more than a flat tire or something like that. That's about all they can do on the interstate. Because there's so much traffic.
Well, can't they pull them into those service stations over there on the interstate?
They take them.
Oh, I see.
They take them.
That's what they're over there for. But they got wreckers?
They got wreckers, yeah. And it's a flat $40 if they go on interstate.
Don't tell me.
A flat $40, that's right. They go up on interstate and just go a mile down the interstate, it's $40.
Well, the Chevrolet garage up there must have had some rule like that to clip you.
That's right.
What rule did they have?
I don't know, but AAA's checking it out for me right now.
Oh, are they?
Yes, sir. That's not legal. That's not right. You see, they wouldn't take my AAA card. Because all they could get was $2 a mile.
And it's just 3 miles.
Out there and back. That's 6 miles. $12 is all they could get. They got me. They cleaned me. But AAA is checking out why they wouldn't take my AAA card.
Yeah.
See, they can get $5 in town just for going down there a block and cranking a car.
Yeah.
All right.
What is a service call?
A service call. They can get $5 out of it.
And they don't have to take the wrecker.
They don't know. No. But they got to have some kind of a truck to make them eligible for AAA service, see?
Sure.
Well, they got all kinds of stick-ups, so they're eligible for AAA service. So, old Richardson, president of the Gainesville AAA club over here, now he's checking it out for me.
I want to hear from that.
That's me. I want to hear why they won't take my card.
Yes.
I paid my dues. It's a 72 card.
Yes.
Yet they turned me down.
Did you hear, you know, we slipped up on that the other day when you come by. The one thing I wanted to hear, Helen can talk about that if I ever see her. You see, you all went to hear that music up there. And you really heard it?
Yes, sir. All night long.
All night long.
Helen and the girls, their last session was from 2:45 to 3:15 in the morning.
You know,
Sunday morning. That was their, I believe it was their fourth session up there. Fourth time up.
Fourth time.
Now they drove Friday night until midnight. Got up Saturday morning. Got in home about 2:30 Saturday evening. We left Dad's about 5:30 that same evening, going back to this place. They started singing. They was the second ones up to sing.
What time was that?
7 o'clock that night.
Starting earlier, yes.
Started early.
Yes.
And it was in an old country church. Well, a new, they're just building it, you know, but out in the country. And there was people all over the place. Right back up in that holler, just as far as you could stick a butcher knife. I don't see where in the world all them people come from.
Yeah.
I don't see, I'm telling you, they must have come out of the rotten spots of the trees.
Yeah.
But now they was out there.
Yeah. But the main attraction, they had a main attraction.
Helen and my girls was the main attraction at that night.
Yeah. The four fellas wasn't there?
They was there, yeah. But they didn't get things off as good as Helen and the girls did.
Oh.
That's right.
But they kept it going.
Oh, they was the King family and the Gospel Heirs from Columbus, Ohio was there. The King family from Canton, Ohio. And the Bluegrass Boys from Akron. And there's another group from down in Kentucky up there for that event.
Oh my, they're all experts, aren't they?
That's right.
They all was on the road.
Yes, sir. They make their living that away. But yet Helen and the girls come right out in front. By gosh, and everybody wanted them to sing all the time. I mean, that was just it. The Cook family from Hawthorne, Florida.
I'll be done.
That's right.
Well, I'll be done.
And old Tommy got up and said, now these kids just left Florida yesterday afternoon. They drove up here. They'll be with us up here tonight and to sing. And they got up and sang one song, and one old lady got happy.
Oh, did she?
Let me tell you, mister, that's all it took.
It just went from there.
It went from there, and it was the Cook family from Hawthorne, Florida. We want to hear them one more time. That's right.
Yeah. Well, sir. So there was some movement down in front.
After that, there was movement all over the house. See, my kids never experienced anything like that before.
Oh.
They hadn't experienced anything like that before. They kind of got excited themselves, you know? I mean, kind of made them nervous.
Sure.
And, they did a good job, though.
They looked around to see what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
They had a good piano, and Helen just beat the snot out of it now. Let me tell you, she played that piano.
Yes.
The Gospel Heirs, they played the piano, but they just couldn't hold a light for Helen to play with now.
Yeah.
she just took.
Well, that's a part of it, you know.
That's the main part of it.
Yes.
Getting that piano going just right.
Yes. You can't live above it. You
no.
can't get along without it.
And
what did the gospel ads have? Just some crippled fella, you might say?
No, it was some young girls.
Yeah.
But they went on with this form and fashion, you know. You can't do that, I mean,
yeah.
out in the country like that. You've got to be with the country folks.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what Helen and the kids, how come them to go over so good? Because they played right along with the country folks' book. In other words, she just went down and picked up one of their song books and played out of it.
Yeah.
These other people had their songs cut and dried, see?
Oh. Yes.
But so, Helen, she just went over and picked up one of their books and set it on the piano and started playing. And singing.
Yeah. So when she lit out, they knew where she's going.
That's right. They could follow her.
Yeah.
And Buddy listened. They just went over. For the singers and all the church furnished coffee and cake and hot dogs and cold drinks for the little kids. And yeah. Didn't cost us nothing. Sat there and drink coffee all night and eat cake and didn't cost us nothing.
Yeah.
That old Mountain Dew coffee too, buddy.
Yeah.
It was made in an open kettle, big pot about that big around.
Yeah.
They poured the coffee in the water. They didn't perk it. They made coffee Mountain Dew style.
Yeah.
Now it was coffee. It'd take paint off.
Yeah.
It was good home-baked cake. Back out in them sticks.
Yeah.
They burnt wood too, buddy. They cooked with wood on them old wood cook stoves. Because you could see the stovepipe going up back of the house when we was going up that holler.
There in the church.
Well,
no. Yes, yes.
In the homes.
Yeah.
See, the neighbors had baked these cakes
sure.
and stuff and brought
sure.
them in.
Sure.
And you could see the stove pipes are going up in the back of the house, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And the wood pile out beside the house.
Yes, sir.
Run back out and stick, buddy, just as far as you could stick a butcher knife.
Yes, and the bacon tastes different.
It was altogether different.
Altogether different out there. All you had to do, I'm telling you, that gets your mind off your trouble. You just sit there and drink coffee, that old Mountain Dew coffee, and
that's right.
that old wood baked cake, and listen to the music, and stomp your foot if you wanted to.
That's right.
Now they had the audience didn't just sit there, did they?
No. If they wanted to sing, they could sing with them. They wanted to shout, they'd get up and shout.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And something was going on all the time.
All the time. They got a special, Helen and the girls have got a special invitation. Back next year.
Is that right?
That's right. Pastor of the church got up and they said, I want to extend a personal and cordial invitation for the Cook family to come back and be with us next year.
Yeah. That was a pastor.
That was the pastor of the church.
Yeah. So he was there. Looking after things,
and whenever they would change singers, he'd get up and say something. He wouldn't just sit there on the stool and do nothing.
Well, now, that's the way it ought to be, Cookie. Just sit there on the stool and do nothing. What sort of business is that?
That's nothing. But he would get up. I mean, when a group of singers would sit down, man, he hit the floor, got up there.
Because he knows what's going on, and he can pass on the word.
That's right. He'd tell the singers, now go get you a cup of coffee, a piece of cake, and refresh. We're going to be expecting you back after a while.
Yeah.
It don't cost you a penny. Just walk around the side and pick it up.
Yeah.
By golly. It made you feel welcome and feel at home. That was worth our trip up there.
That would be worth any trip up there.
It would.
Yes.
Just that alone was worth our trip up there.
No. And he didn't act sort of nervous, like he had to be sure everybody was approving of what he did. He just went ahead.
He went ahead. He's the boss.
I don't know why it is. It seems like down here, Cookie, it looks like I have a feeling the preacher's always nervous.
They're nervous. They're afraid John over here is going to say something, or Bill over here is not going to like it.
Yes.
Because Bill's a deacon, and John is just a everyday comer.
And one man out of a whole congregation can throw the whole thing out of whack.
Absolutely.
God. If he wants to.
He sure can. One bad apple can can cause a bushel to spoil.
Well.
But up there, it's just altogether different. And down at the little community church down there below Dad's, where Mom and Dad goes all the time, they had a revival, week's revival. And Helen and the girls was there every night but two to sing for.
Oh, really? Oh, to sing for them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They done some singing while they was home this time.
Yes.
And that church, they got a brand new piano. It was played more last week than it ever has been played.
Yes.
And Helen just beat the snot out of it.
Yes.
She played the thing.
And you know, she's an amazing person. You know what? You see them little girls just coming up. They haven't been around enough to one song just like another to them.
Yeah.
And you see, Helen knows these songs from way back.
Oh yeah. Back in Chisholm talk.
Yeah, and look what they've took her through. All the things she's been through. You see, and them songs has been right with her. That makes a difference, don't it?
Yeah.
I saw this fella, I coming back from Ocala, by the old 441, and I stopped at that little vegetable shed that, it's the only one along there now, a little place called Red Oaks, this little cafe there, and there used to be a little post office in town. Quarter mile or less back up the road, but you see, they took the post office out, put on a, you see, they get it every day out of Ocala, so everything's closed up there. They don't have anything there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's this little cafe, and they got that vegetable shed. It belongs to the, what family is that? Johnson family. They were big vegetable people.
Johnson.
Down there. Oh. Well, down past Lowell, I guess you'd say.
Between Lowell and Ray.
On the other side of the institution, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who you're speaking of. Yeah.
Well, I just stopped there to ask a question one day, and here this fellow standing there. I think I told you about it. And he's the only one that wasn't doing anything. I just walked up there asking something, and he just turned out to talk about everything. He had a bad knee. About 15 crates of oranges had spilled on that knee. And you know, I can tell what it is. I don't remember just the circumstances, but I remember one time I was up here at the Farm Bureau, or the Farmers Mutual, and I went back there to get some posts. And there wasn't any, except in a new bale. And I went back to get a hammer, and I cut one side and walked over to the other. And you know, I just lucky.
Yeah, she didn't get about.
I was just this much under it, so that it knocked me down and pinned me down, but I was just at the edge. But you know, that thing happened faster than a firecracker would go off.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to him, except it got him. And I pulled out from under these posts, and they didn't get me bad. He talking about, he come from Northwest Florida, and he was went down here to Winter Garden down there, and like you did when you first come to Florida, down there working the citrus. And I don't know how it was, and he said the first day he was working there, he had his sleeves rolled up, and the juice off those leaves poisoned his skin. And he wrapped it all up and couldn't turn on the ignition of his truck. But he rolled his truck with them elbows out of the thing there. And I was talking to him. I said, you know, about one thing or another, but I told him the worst thing I ever got into. I started to help a fellow over there, talking to him. I started to pick up one of those boxes, orange boxes, you know, and I reached down to get it, and it just stuck it to the ground. And he said, this big black nigger come over to him. And he says, he put his hat under his arm and says, Mr. Johnny, it's awful simple. And he reached down there, picked up one end, got it almost up there. Then he said he just went down there and got the other and threw it up there on the truck. Just one end at a time. Well, I haven't tried it since. I don't know if it's working. I still think it might not work for me. He said this, you see, they talk so fast, I never get everything just straight. Talking about this truck, though, he said when he went to work there, about all they got out of a day's work out of that truck was about 4 carloads of oranges that they spend most of the time spinning the wheels and the fan. And said this fella had a check for $55, and this other fella come up, and I don't know just what the circumstance of it, but they said, no, ain't nobody can get that truck out. And this fella says, I'll put on two of these against your one. This fella can get it out. And he said, he told them all they'd have to help him at was just to turn on the ignition, because his hands were sore. And I couldn't picture how a truck would be stuck between two trees. But what it was in the roll. See that, the roll going this way, and here's a truck, see, with a tree right in front of it and a tree right in the back, and a couple of foot to play. And he said he just got about 2 inches at a time. The first thing you know, way he went. With his elbows. I wish you'd been there. You could have got that.
But yeah, I'd like to see that.
His elbow, covered his time. But he right down here, I know where he lives. sometime we'll stop there. And he got this bad knee, he can't walk on it. But I see all them things, you see, Helen's been through all those, that sort of life, and seen all those things go on, you see. Them songs mean more to her than they do to them little children that plays the piano.
And then I went up there, my brother, he had his hay down. I took the girls and we all went out there and got his hay in for him.
They don't make those bitty old 50-pound bales up there.
No. About that long.
Yeah, as long as this table.
Just about.
And solid.
Yes, sir. He's baled it so tight he broke baler twine. When he'd go out of the baler, you know?
Yeah.
He broke the baler twine. Yes, sir.
Okay. What does he do then?
He rebale it.
Scattered.
Yeah. Yes, that's scattered out. Because you got a windrow as far as here to the lake. Practically, I mean, you never saw such a wad of hay come out of one bale.
Yeah.
Never saw it. I'm telling you, it's awful.
Yeah. They haven't learned about these little 50-pound bags of feed that Seminole gets out now.
Mm-mm.
And then the girls, you see, can be the squires, grooms down at the horse farm.
That's right.
50-pound bag.
That's right.
I was going out and mow a little bit, even this Sunday. Sunday afternoon, it won't bother anybody with it.
I wouldn't think so.
And then that Pappy's little pasture, where that filly is, weeds is getting up so high, it won't be able to, won't have to use an axe on them. Yes, sir. That was worth the trip up there. And then you had a whole week of the revival.
Yeah, but I didn't go. I stayed home.
They just have meetings at night or during the day too?
At night.
Yeah.
7:30, they get ready to quit.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not 7:30 to 8:30. It's 7:30, they get ready to quit.
That's right. It'll sort of break up a little at a time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then if they want to sing after they break up church, well, they sing.
Just keep on.
They come home a few nights, it's after 12 o'clock when they go home.
Singing all that time. You couldn't hire him to do all that, could you?
Mm-mm.
There you go. Well, hell, Cookie, they just getting started. Those girls.
Yeah.
Don't tell them what they'll do. And Laura's right the head one, isn't she?
Yeah, the rest of them can't sing without her. They just that the school can't do it. Laura's it.
When she just barely got a hold of that book.
That's right.
Wasn't any help much at all. Mama had to do everything. How do they pick up and take hold so quick? That's what I want to know. First thing you know, yeah, they get so you can just turn it over to them.
Yeah.
Go out and look around a little.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing else to do. I don't have to taxi tonight.
Is your night off?
Tonight and tomorrow night, my night's off.
Frank is still over here?
Yeah. He gets off from work at 6.
Now, when do he go back to university?
I think he goes back Tuesday. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh, he had this time off, and he just put his vacation in over here.
Yeah.
Seem like pretty easy people to work with.
They want Frank to work steady for them.
Yeah. Well, can he afford to do it?
He can make more money, actually, than he can at the university.
Because they deduct so much at the university.
That's right. Then he could, over there, he can only work 4 hours a day at the university and go to school, too. He can't work full-time.
Yeah.
Well, over here, he can work as many hours as he wants to.
Yeah.
And
go to school.
And go to school, and Ed will cover up for him.
Yeah. Well, school starts
Tuesday. When does university start up?
I hate to think. I don't know. But it's not long.
I believe it's Monday week the university starts up.
Not long. Well,
you gonna be on the same beat as you was last year?
Well, I know. Well, I know. They've got blood out of me this summer, you see. I've been doing all these bibliographies for them. They're just about to kill me. You don't got anything to show for it, you see. Look all right on the outside, but I just finished them Monday evening this week.
Damn.
Been going all summer long.
Every day,
7 days a week practically. Just worked till I wore out. I haven't done a bit of work out there outside. I go out there now and pick up a stick of stove wood. I get up a sweat. I'm worse shape than I've been since I've been out here.
Well, have we got any, is there, I haven't looked around, I don't know. Is there any grass that'll make good hay? I mean, that we can cut and put up for hay?
Not anymore, it's all tough. There was a right smart that I couldn't get to. It started raining.
Well, I was, you see where I was at. I'm just getting down where I can. Well, I'm going to have to do something. I can't just sit down from now on. I've got to get out and maneuver around and
yeah.
do what I can stand to do.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Well, there's plenty of foolishness. Plenty of it. Everything going to pot, everywhere you look. Just, you know, not doesn't look like
I hate to see it bed down and this winter and then next summer have to cut it and rake it up and hay next year.
Yeah. That's right. That's
actually,
right.
It'd pay us, you know, to get it off even if we had to sell it to somebody.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's what happened.
Because the bed's down this winter, we're going there next summer to cutting. Well, we're going to cut and rake it right up with it next year.
Yeah. I'll just be down there to choke you more.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't believe I can stay in business with as much trouble as it is and as unsatisfactory as the stuff is and as high as it is. I don't believe I can even afford to run a tractor. Not even that little Ford. It's just too much. Way out of reach. And it ain't ready to, when they bring it back, it ain't ready to go. I used to see them say that, they got to the end of the row, put up with it as long as they were, and I thought to myself, God Almighty, if you had any, energy at all, you could make this place work. Work the pie out of you to do it, too, wouldn't it? Yes, as long as you do it all. If we had a little 40-acre farm here with a mule, you see, we could keep going. But with this machinery, as simple as it is, you see, can't make it run.
Well, if I hadn't got knocked out, well, might have been a little different. But that you don't know, see. You don't never know when you're going to get knocked out.
Well, Cooey, you've had a fleet of cars to keep going for a year, so you haven't done anything over here on the machinery. God, you got enough over there, practically.
That's practically a full-time job.
Full-time job, yeah. You can't come over here and start keeping up another fleet. No, sir. I tell you, you don't know, you weren't there, you didn't look around like that, but is not any better up there where your daddy is? Still got the same trouble.
Same thing?
Same thing. They go off to Ohio, and when they come back, they don't want to do nothing. Or if they do, they got enough of their own to do.
Yeah, and then just talking about the prices. They're higher up there than they are down here.
Yeah.
Daddy had a clutch put in his tractor, cost him $146.
Yeah.
$146. Yeah. Put a clutch in his tractor. They picked it up that morning and had it back to him that afternoon. $146.
It ran?
Yeah.
Well, at least it run.
It run, but I told him it wasn't right. And it ain't. He'll burn it up before he gets... Before he gets all of his hay, all of his tractor done this fall, he'll burn that clutch out of it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't put no pressure plate in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Too weak. The pressure plate's too weak.
Yeah.
You start up on them hills and up there by golly in low gear, and he'll twist that clutch out.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Because that pressure plate ain't strong enough to hold it together. It may turn them wheels. It just won't do it.
Yeah, that's when it gets hot.
Yes, sir.
Oh! Well, last night was the first cool night I've had. The first one. It got chilly last night, Cookie.
Yeah, I didn't go to sleep till 5:30 this morning. Put in the day right over the trailer sleep, by golly. Since I took Frank to work, we got him there about 10 minutes from 9. I went over to the trailer and went to sleep. Just got up and eat and come over here.
That's what it's good. That's what it's for, too, for you to sleep.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta keep it. Yes, that's yours. You have to have that sleep. Oh, and just calm.
Because I didn't go to sleep. Well, Helen called me to come and get her at 5:30 this morning. And I got up and put my clothes on, went in the living room, and sat down in the chair and something. I just got easy. Not a pain in my body. Just went to sleep that quick.
Over here?
No, at the house.
At the house.
I lay there in that bed all night long, didn't go to sleep.
And you just, well, you just had to change positions, didn't you?
I got up and sat down in the chair and leaned back. Had to put my shoes on. I think, well, I've got plenty of time.
Oh, when you're supposed to go for Helen?
Yeah.
I see.
I didn't leave the house till 6:30. I was supposed to pick her up at 6:20. 6:20, I was supposed to pick her up and didn't leave till 6:30. Yeah. So, I was late getting her. Ain't nobody over there for her to ride with no more. I'm stuck in taxiing. And, I had to bring Frank to work.
You just want to be driving 200 miles a day going nowhere?
That's right. That's just what I'm after.
This is channel 2 over around 1550, and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday, the 3rd of September, 72. Channel 2 over around 1550, and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday afternoon, the 3rd of September, 72. Channel 2 over around 1550, and the end of the visit with Cookie, just Cookie and me, this Sunday afternoon, the 3rd of September, 72.